The Holy Gospel according to Luke, the 15th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Now all the tax collectors and sinners were coming near to listen to Jesus. And the Pharisees and the scribes were grumbling and saying, "This fellow welcomes sinners and eats with them." So Jesus told them this parable. There was a man who had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, "Father, give me the share of the property that will belong to me." So he divided his property between them. A few days later, the younger son gathered all he had and traveled to a distant country. And there he squandered his property in dissolute living. When he had spent everything, a severe famine took place throughout that country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country, who sent him to his fields to feed the pigs. He would gladly have filled himself with the pods that the pigs were eating, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, "How many of my father's hired hands have bread enough and to spare, but here I am dying of hunger? I will get up and go to my father, and I will say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me like one of your hired hands.'" So he set off and went to his father. But while he was still far off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion. He ran and put his arms around him and kissed him. Then the son said to him, "Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son." But the father said to his slaves, "Quickly, bring out a robe, the best one, and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. And get the fatted calf and kill it. Let us eat and celebrate. For the son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found." And they began to celebrate. Now his elder son was in the field, and when he came and approached the house, he heard music and dancing. He called to one of the slaves and asked what was going on. He replied, "Your brother has come home, and your father has killed the fatted calf, because he has got him back safe and sound." Then he became angry and refused to go in. His father came out and began to plead with him. But he answered his father, "Listen, for all these years I have been working like a slave for you and have never disobeyed your command. Yet you have never given me even a young goat so that I might celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours came back, who has devoured your property with prostitutes, you killed the fatted calf for him." Then the father said to him, "Son, you were always with me, and all that is mine is yours. But we had to celebrate and rejoice, because this brother of yours was dead and has come to life. He was lost and has been found." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Well, good morning and welcome to everyone, and especially to the young folks in our midst and online. Today we have a very famous story from Jesus, one of the parables, often called the prodigal son. We're going to talk about that word here in just a little bit. But it's actually one of three stories that Jesus tells here in Luke chapter 15. And they're all about something that has been lost. First story is about lost sheep. The second story is about a lost coin. And the third story we just heard is about lost sons. So Jesus is concerned about things that are lost. One sheep out of 100. And the shepherd leaves the 99 to go searching for the one. Does that make any sense, to leave 99 sheep and go search for one? Doesn't make a whole lot of sense. The second story, a woman has 10 coins, loses one. and then spends the entire day cleaning the house to find that one coin, and then finds it and throws a party. That's the part I forgot about the first one. When the shepherd finds the sheep, he comes back and he throws a party. And at the end of our story today, we have a party when one of the sons has been found. What strikes me most about those stories this morning is not about Jesus searching for the lost. That seems to me to be what Jesus does. Jesus would do the unthinkable. He would be the one to go after the one sheep or to have the house turned inside out to find a coin. So what happens after? It's the party, the celebration. It's not just about the finding. It's about how we respond to what has been found. It's about throwing a party. Do you like a good party? Yeah? Birthday party, Christmas party, Easter is coming up. What Jesus does in these stories, one of the many things he does in these complicated stories, is to remind us to celebrate. To remind us to celebrate. We can talk about the ridiculousness of searching for the one, but at the end of every story, there's a celebration. There's a celebration that something has been found and that we're happy. The sheep herd is whole again. The woman has all 10 of her coins. The son has come home. Remember a couple of weeks ago, we started this journey of Lent. We're making our way to Easter and a celebration. We ought to be getting ready for that celebration. Yes, Lent is about fasting and prayer and maybe giving something up. It's about thinking about our own relationship with God, but every year there's a party, the greatest party that we ever celebrate, and that's called Easter. But we're not there yet. I don't want to rush it, but I think it's a good reminder that even after some of the hard things, Jesus always reminds us to celebrate. Jesus invites us to throw a party. And that's what we're going to do. Let us pray. Holy and gracious God, we give you thanks for loving us, for finding us, and for helping us to find one another. Remind us that it's good to celebrate, that it's good to throw a party, and that you have thrown the greatest party of all. And we give you thanks for inviting us. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace to you. In the name of Jesus, amen. This parable goes by many names. Parable of the lost son, the parable of the two sons, and probably the most famous, the parable of the prodigal son. Now, that's a word I'd actually never looked up the definition to until I heard it this past week. It was just an assumption on my part that it had something to do with being lost, which could not be further from the truth, and I'm quite embarrassed to admit that. But I grew up with it, the parable of the prodigal son. And what was that son? He was lost and now he is found. And even a couple of years ago when I came across a reframing of this as the prodigal God, I never questioned it. I thought I knew what prodigal meant. Well, I learned this week that prodigal actually means lavish and extravagance. Has nothing to do with being lost. Baffled me. Flipped the whole story upside down for me. The prodigal son, the lavish son. And in one way, yes, the one son who asked for his inheritance, his share of the property, which was a very rude thing to do. Not only would it be rude in our time, but even more so in antiquity when you did not inherit until the patriarch had died. So really what the son is saying in not so many words as, I wish you were dead, I want what's mine. And then goes and spends it lavishly, spends all of it, regardless of what the price tag of that property was worth, spends it. And then when it runs out, tries to work, and then there's a famine, and a bit of a realization. A reminder, perhaps, that even though I've taken half of what my father has, my father is still lavish, extravagant, and even the servants in my father's house have more than enough. So I'm going to go home. And I've heard this parable turned inside out and approached from many and different ways. And we could spend hours going into the avenues of this parable. To run the story out, to finish it quickly, the son goes home and doesn't even get to finish his story before the father starts demonstrating a love, a lavish response. A robe, some sandals, a ring, slaughter the fatted calf. Let us throw a party. And when the celebration is rocking and rolling, the father notices that one son is not present. And so the father goes out to find the older brother. And there's a bit of a heated exchange. And the father again demonstrates an extravagant response. This brother of yours was dead, but has come back to life. He was lost and has been found. And that's where Jesus ends the parable. We actually don't know what the older brother does. Does the brother go to the party? Is there a shift in recognition on behalf of the older brother? We don't know. And that's one of the many layers of brilliance that come with these parables. And here's where I want to take a step back. I want to set this story back in context because, as I said just a few minutes ago, this is the third in the triad of stories about lost things, about a lost sheep, about a lost coin, and about two lost brothers. These three stories come out of a heated accusation from the religious leaders. The Pharisees and the scribes are grumbling when they witness what Jesus is doing. And this far along in Luke's gospel, that shouldn't come as a surprise. Of course, Jesus is upsetting people. That seems to be par for the course in Jesus' ministry. But it's their accusation that is the foundation of these three stories. This fellow welcomes sinners and eats with them. It's not just one statement, it's actually two accusations. Jesus welcomes and eats with them. Jesus has the audacity to welcome folks that shouldn't be welcomed, because for whatever reason, because of their own wrongdoing or because of life's circumstances, they are now labeled as outsiders. And the more I read into Luke's gospel, the more I understand this unfolding kingdom. That word sinner, we tend to narrowly define, but its social implications in the ancient world and how it was used as a weapon by those in power continues to grow for me, and that understanding and that divide. And for me, that growing understanding of sinner actually charges the word welcome. We don't have a definition or understanding. It could be any number of things, but the offense here is the welcome. It's not whatever those folks had done, these tax collectors and these sinners. Luke doesn't give us that definition. It's welcome. That's the operative word. Welcome and eat. I've spoken before about Jesus sharing bread. It's part of his ministry. It's part of who he is as an extension of the incarnation. Historically, God is a person, a deity, a figure who shares, be it the person who visits Abraham in the wilderness or the deity that calls to Elijah or Elisha. However ancient Israel encountered the divine, God is one who shares. Manna in the wilderness, the circulation of resources, just enough in the moment of a famine, and Jesus embodies that, sharing bread with everyone. Pharisees, tax collectors, sinners, disciples, a whole crowd in the wilderness. He welcomes and eats. And this seems to be the crux of the whole thing. As I mentioned in the children's sermon, at the end of all of this is not just the finding of the lost, it's the celebration. The shepherd celebrates upon the finding of the lost sheep. The woman celebrates upon the finding of the lost coin. The father celebrates. We have one instance of that, celebrating the younger son's return home and possibly celebrating the older brother walking through the door of that banquet hall, potentially. There's always a celebration. And from that celebration, a promise that there will indeed be a celebration at the end of all of this. Tapping again into the words of the prophets and the word of God. That one day all the tears will be wiped away. There will be no mourning, and on this mountaintop I will spread out a feast for all. And there will be a celebration. What we're leaning into closer and closer in the season of Lent is a celebration of resurrection and new life. In the complexity of these stories is the promise of celebration and the promise of being found. It's not, will these things be found? It's not if these things will be found, it's they will. There is no question. The lost sheep will be found, the coin will be found, the brother will be found, and there will be a celebration. That's just who God is, a seeker. At any point in history, God could have written off the wandering Israelites as a lost cause. The experiment had failed. Not only had creation fallen short because of a broken relationship, but a renewal movement never materialized. The people never got it. But over and over again, through Moses and Joshua and Gideon and the judges and the prophets, God continues to reach out and stir up hope. God continues to reach out to remind that it's not the end of the story, that there's always, always a continuation. That regardless of how bad things get, God will never stop seeking. And there will be a celebration. So what do we do with that in a world of seekers, ourselves, all seeking something, a corner of meaning, a fragment of peace, just a little bit of stability in the chaos? We all come seeking something. And it's not just human nature. It's not just how we have been enculturated. It's a part of how we were created. Always seeking the basics. And when the basics have been provided for, we just don't stop looking. It's just how we're wired. So we bring all of those seekings with us this morning. And maybe, just maybe, in all of those seekings, a story like this can remind us that there's always a finding. We may not know what that looks like right now. And maybe right now is enough. Maybe there's just enough stability in this moment. There's just enough pause. There's just enough peace right here and right now. And if that's all you need for the week, wonderful. May that peace overflow and multiply. Or maybe it's just a bit overwhelming, and it's hard to keep those seekings at bay. So hear this. You are enough. You have been found. The one that chases after lost sheep and turns over couches for lost coins, the one that walks into a barn to talk with an angry older sibling and remind that older sibling that things are found and we ought to celebrate, that same one comes to us, to you. And we'll find you. That's the promise that we have. We'll find you, and there will be a celebration. It's just the tip of the iceberg of what we walk through. And when we go back out these doors, there's going to be wave after wave of seekings, sustenance, meaning, a way to make it through today and tomorrow. But we walk out armed with the knowledge and hope that there's always a finding, that God recklessly seeks after us, that God throws caution to the wind, and without even hearing a confession or an excuse, without even giving us a chance to second guess our coming home, there's a robe and some sandals and a ring and a thank God you're alive. Welcome home. Let's party. That's who God is. Always has been, always will be. So let's flip the script to go back to the eureka moment I had this week. The prodigal has nothing to do with being lost. And for years, I've been trying to shoehorn being lost as a prodigal into this world. My own lostless, our own lostness as a church, as a community, what have you. And it's not about being lost. It's about being prodigal. It's about being lavish. It's about the extravagant response that we are always met with because of who God is. So come to the table where there's just a little bit, but it's a foretaste of the extravagance of God's promised feast. Share the peace here in just a little bit that's just a foretaste, but is a sign of the extravagant peace that God bestows upon all of us. And receive the blessing and peace at the end of worship that's just a little bit, but a sign of the extravagance that goes with us out into a world that is seeking. And we can encounter with a celebration, because that's just who God is. Amen. Let us stand and join together in our hymn of the day, number 608, Softly and Tenderly, Jesus is Calling.